We're going to look today at the book of Ruth. Now, every Old Testament book is a message about Christ, our Lord, and about his redemptive work as prophet, priest, and king. In other words, in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "To him give all the prophets witness." They all wrote of Christ. He said, "Moses wrote of me." So every Old Testament book that you read is a message about Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So you see, every Old Testament book is a message of Christ. And he said over here in the book of Luke, chapter 24, all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. You see? So now let's look at the little book of Ruth. And I can promise you that if you listen to this message carefully and prayerfully, I believe it'll open up the book of Ruth for you. I believe it'll be a new book. I believe that God will give you some interest and insight into this book of Ruth if you listen to this message today. Now, will you? I'm going to take a text, Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, "Boaz said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy robe over me, for thou art one that hath the right to redeem. Spread thy robe over me, for thou art one that hath the right to redeem." Now, I'm going to give you the primary teaching of the book of Ruth concerning Christ, our kinsman redeemer. But let's go back and pick it up now. And you can read it later. You just listen to me as I speak to you today. Now, there was a man of Israel called Elimelech. He was a wealthy man in Israel. He was a landowner. But because of the famine, he lived in Bethlehem, Judea. But because of the famine, he left Israel, he and his wife, Naomi, and his two sons. And they went down into a heathen country called Moab. And after he had gotten to Moab and spent some time there, Elimelech died and left his wife and two sons. And the scripture tells us in the book of Ruth that these two boys married women of Moab, of this heathen country. They took them wives of the Moabite women. And these two boys didn't live very long with their wives, just a few years, and then they also died. So Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons left Israel because of the famine, sold out, and left Israel and went down into Moab. And there they lived for a while, and the father died, Elimelech. The two boys died and left Naomi and the two daughters-in-law in poor circumstances. And so Naomi, poor, without support, broken-hearted, determined to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem, back to Israel. So she told her daughters-in-law to stay in their home. Said, "This is your country. This is your people. You're still young and beautiful. Why don't you just stay here in Moab and marry men of your own nation, your own people, and leave me go. I'm going back to Israel, back to my people, and you stay here." And one of the daughters-in-law did stay, but Ruth, and this is that famous passage in the book of Ruth, and it's beautiful, but let's don't just dwell on this and miss all the teaching of the book of Ruth. That's when Ruth said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, she said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where you go, I go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I shall die, and there I shall be buried." So Ruth and Naomi left Moab and journeyed back to the land of Israel. Now this is beautiful. Here, listen. They went back to Bethlehem. And when the people of Bethlehem saw these two women coming, that had been a long time since Elimelech and Naomi had left Bethlehem, many years. Elimelech was dead, the two boys were dead, Naomi had been through much sorrow and trial and heartache. She was a different woman. She left there with plenty. She left there prosperous. They left there as landowners, having sold out with everything. She came back with nothing. She came back poor, brokenhearted, distressed. She came back without a husband, without her two sons. She came back with a daughter-in-law following her, and the people gathered around her, the scripture says here in the book of Ruth, and they said, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi?" Do we know what the word Naomi means? It means pleasant. Pleasant. And she said, "Call me not Naomi." That is, don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. You know what the word Elimelech means? I see here a picture of man's fall. I see a picture of Adam's departure from God. I see a picture of the human race in its great fall. For we were rich. We had plenty. We were in the Garden of Eden. God gave us the whole world. He said, "It's yours, Adam. Reign over it, subdue it, conquer it, replenish it. It's yours." Adam was a king. Adam was a priest. Adam was a prophet. Adam had all these blessings, and he fell. But Elimelech, you know what the name means? The name Elimelech means, "My God is king." And here's Elimelech, "My God is king." Here's Naomi, pleasant. And they left Israel. They left Bethlehem. That's the home of David. That's really the birthplace of Christ our Lord. They left Bethlehem. They sold out. They left. And she came back, not pleasant. She came back in bitterness. Yes, the king is now the servant. The prince is now the pauper. The pleasant is now the bitter. The full is now the empty. The blessed is now the cursed. So Naomi and Ruth are here in Bethlehem, and they're without means of support. They have nothing. They're very poor. And they come to Bethlehem right at the beginning of the harvest season. And Naomi says to Ruth, being very poor and without support, having nothing, the inheritance was gone, they'd sold everything, they came back as beggars. That's what they really were, beggars. And you're going to see that in a moment. And so Naomi told Ruth, "We've got to have something to eat." And Ruth said, "Well, I'll go out in the fields." Now, this was permitted in Old Testament days. When the reapers went through the wheat fields and the fields of grain, they left pieces of grain all over the field. And the beggars and the poor could come along behind the reapers. Moses provided that they not clean the field absolutely and spotlessly clean, but leave some. Just when they left some wheat, just leave it there, and the poor people and the beggars would come and scavengers and pick it up and put it in their little bags, you know, and take it home. That's all they had to live on. So Ruth went out to the field and began to glean what the harvesters, the reapers, had left, just little pieces of wheat here and there. And the scripture says she happened upon the field of a man called Boaz. She happened by God's mercy, by God's grace. We know that. It was no accident, but it was to her. She happened on the field of a man called Boaz, and he came riding out to his field, and he saw this young woman. She was very beautiful. And he was impressed with her. At once she found favor in his eyes. And he called some of the reapers over, some of the harvesters, and he said, "You see that young lady over there picking up pieces of wheat that you're leaving? Leave her some handful on purpose. Leave her some handful on purpose." And that's where that comes from. You'll find that in the book of Ruth 2, verse 16. And so they left her a whole lot. And when Ruth came home that evening, she just had plenty of grain. She had a large sack full of grain, just plenty of grain, just very unusual. Usually the people who were scavengers and picked up the remains just brought home a few handfuls, but she had a sack full of grain. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, "Where did you glean today?" And Ruth said, "I gleaned in the field of a man called Boaz." And watch this now. And Naomi said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Praise God. She said, God hath not left off his kindness. Listen, here's the key to the book of Ruth. This man Boaz is a near kinsman. He's our kin folks. He's related to us. He's our near kinsman, and he has the right to redeem. He has the right to buy back what we've lost. He has the right to buy back our inheritance. Now, if you want to study something that's interesting, you read the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. Leviticus 25. And you'll find that God made a provision that a family could not totally lose their land, the family of Israel. If they were very poor, and waxen poor, the scripture said, and had to sell their land, when a certain number of years passed, that land could be bought back and given to them by a kinsman redeemer or a near kinsman. They may be flat broke. They may not have a shirt on their back. They may not have a rag to their name. They may not have a cent to their name. But if a near kinsman will do it, and they generally did, they could buy back all that the man sold. It's called the year of Jubilee. And it was given back to him. Now, Elimelech had sold his property in Israel, in Bethlehem. Naomi had nothing. She was broke. She had nothing. She was poor. And her daughter-in-law Ruth had nothing. But when Ruth came in with that sack full of grain, and Naomi said, "Where did you glean today?" And she said, "In the field of a man called Boaz." And Naomi immediately said, "Praise God. He can redeem us. He's one of the only ones who can redeem us. He is a near kinsman. He can buy back all that we lost." And this is the key to this book. Redeem us. A near kinsman who has the right. Everybody couldn't do it. But that near kinsman has the right to redeem us. And this is used over and over again. Read the book of Ruth. It's used over and over. It's not just a love story. It's not just the story of the faithfulness of a daughter-in-law. It's the story of the redemption of Jesus Christ. It's used over and over again. One who has the right to redeem. So Naomi told Ruth. She said, "Now tonight, the rulers and the landowners are staying down at the threshing floor. You go down there, and you uncover the feet of Boaz." This was a custom I don't fully understand, but I'll just give it to you like the scripture says it. "You uncover the feet of Boaz, and you lie down at his feet." And that's what Ruth did. And Naomi said, "He'll tell you what to do." So Ruth uncovered the feet of this man Boaz, and she lay down at his feet, and after a while he awakened. Boaz awoke and found her there, and he said to her, "Who art thou?" That's where our text comes in. "Who art thou?" And she said, "I'm Ruth. I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread thy robe over me, for thou art a near kinsman who has the power, the right, to redeem." And Boaz looked at her, and he said, "There is a kinsman nearer than I who has first claim on you. And tomorrow I'll go down to the gate where the men do business, and I'll talk with him. And if he'll redeem you, then he'll have to redeem you. But if he won't, I will." Now catch this. He said, "There's another kinsman you don't know about. I do know about. He's got a claim on you. And he has first choice to redeem you and to marry you. And if he won't redeem you, I will. And I'll make you my wife." So Boaz the next day went down to the gate where the men gathered to transact business. And he saw this other kinsman coming toward him. And he said, "Sit down. I want to talk to you." Now, he said, "You know about Elimelech, our brother. You know about his widow, Naomi. You know about Ruth, highly esteemed among women." And that's what it says, contrary to the movie that was shown not long ago on TV. Naomi was not despised by the people of Bethlehem. She was not despised by the women of Bethlehem. She was loved, esteemed, and respected by the women of Bethlehem. And that's what Boaz said. And he said, "Now, you know who she is." "Yes, I know about the loss. I know about the sale of the property." "Well," he said, "now you are a nearer kinsman than I am. You have first choice to redeem Naomi and her inheritance. Will you do it?" He said, "I will do it. I will do it." That's what the other man said. Boaz said, "Now remember this. When you redeem Naomi and her property, you must marry Ruth." And the man shook his head and he said, "I can't do that." He said, "I can't do that lest I mar my own inheritance. I'm sorry. I cannot marry Ruth." And so Boaz says, "Well, I will. and they sealed the bargain there and they sealed the deal. He said, I will redeem her and I will marry her. So Boaz, the scripture says, married Ruth. He redeemed her. He bought back what Naomi lost. He purchased their inheritance and gave it back to them and married Ruth. And she conceived and bare a child who was in the line of Christ our Lord. In fact, it was Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. That's right. Ruth the Moabitess was the grandmother of King David. Now, what do you see here? Well, first of all, I see the picture of Christ redeeming us. We've lost our inheritance. We lost it in Adam. We lost it in the garden. We lost it in the fall. We're stripped. We don't have anything. We are broke. We're bankrupt. We're beggars. We've lost everything. But our Lord saw us out there in our condition, just as Boaz riding through the field, he saw Ruth, and he loved her. Ruth didn't love him. Ruth didn't know him. Ruth had to ask who he is. That's what, who is this man? She didn't know, but Boaz saw her and was attracted to her and loved her. And our Lord Jesus Christ saw us in our ruined, lost, and fallen condition, and he loved us. He loved us, he said, with an everlasting love. He loved us with an infinite love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ saw her just as Boaz saw Ruth in the field and loved her, and she found favor in his sight, and she found grace in his sight. He said to the reapers, he said, leave her some things to gather. Don't clean it all up. Leave her some hands full on purpose. And so he loved her, just as our Lord Jesus Christ, from back yonder before the foundation of the world, set his love upon us, made us objects of his love. All right, watch the second thing. We're found at his feet. When Ruth came home with this huge sack of grain that Boaz had provided for her, and her mother-in-law said, where did you glean today? And she said, in the field of a man called Boaz. And that's when her mother-in-law said, well, praise God. God hasn't left off his kindness. God hasn't left off his mercy. This man, Boaz, is a near kinsman redeemer. Now, we've got to show we know our need. We've got to show that we know our place. We've got to show to him the true humility of our hearts. Now, this is a very humble thing for this beautiful woman to do. So she goes down to where this man is lying on the threshing floor, and she uncovered his feet and lay down at his feet. At his feet. Now that's humility, and that's contrition, and that's taking the place of a lowly servant and a lowly person at his feet. That's what our Lord was doing when he washed the disciples' feet. He said, you do the same thing. He that would be greatest among you, let him be your servant. This is a mark of the redeemed. It's humility. It's contrition. You take Mary. When our Lord was in the home of Mary and Martha, it said Martha was off in the kitchen. She was working, busy, serving the Lord, you know, preparing the meal, fixing things up for him, making him comfortable, doing things for him. And she came in and said, Lord, don't you care? Here's Mary sitting at his feet in the humble position, down there looking up into his face with love and need and admiration and just feasting upon the words and the grace that fell from his lips. And Martha came in and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve and to take care of the tables and wait on you? And the Lord Jesus said, Martha, you're cumbered about with much care. And I'm afraid that's what's wrong with our religious world. We're too busy serving the Lord, and we've never been served. We're too busy ministering, and we've never been ministered to. And Christ said, I didn't come to be ministered to. I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And he said, you're cumbered about with much care, but Mary hath chosen the good thing. She's sitting here at my feet. That's where the harlot found mercy, at Christ's feet. When she came, all these Pharisees and scribes were sitting in the uppermost seats, exercising their intelligence and their education and their arguments and their reasoning powers and debating with the Lord. And this poor harlot was found at his feet, bathing his feet with tears and drying them with the hair of her head. And that's where the one who found mercy, and the only one in the whole place that found mercy, was at his feet. And this is where Ruth is. She's at his feet. Men today are too proud to find themselves at the feet of Christ. They're too wise and too prudent and too educated and too intelligent
and they're missing the way of salvation. Our Lord said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you revealed them to babes. You know where? The way up is down. The way up is down. The choice gifts of God are on the lower shelf. You'll be broken or you'll be judged. You'll be humiliated and humbled or you'll never be exalted. The Lord Jesus Christ knows how to abase people, and he knows how to exalt people. And he who exalteth himself shall be abased, and the humble shall be exalted. This woman, Ruth, was told by her mother-in-law, you do what I say. You do what I say. And you go down and lie at his feet. And you show your need, and you show your humility, and you show your submission. We've got nothing to be proud of. We've got nothing. We're bankrupt. It's no time to boast. It's no time to brag. It's no time to talk about what we used to have. We don't have anything. And that's the condition you and I are in. We don't have anything. We're plumb lost. We're broke. We're bankrupt. We're hungry. We're needy creatures. We're sick. We're empty. We're penniless. We're beggars. We need to find ourselves at the feet of Christ. Somebody said, beggars at the back door of mercy. That's right. That's where she, all right, let's read on. All right, he said, who are you? She said, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Put your robe over me, for you have the right to redeem me if you will. If you will. And Boaz presented a problem. He said, Ruth, I want to redeem you. But he said, there's one that has first claim on you. There's one who has first priority. I've got to talk to him first. There's one nearer than I. Who is that? My friend, in the case of the sinner, it's the law of God. Now listen to me. The law of God. The law of God has first claim on us. Because it's the law of God that we've offended. It's the law of God that we've broken. That's what Job's talking about when he says, how can man be clean that's born of a woman? How can man be redeemed that drinketh iniquity like the water? The law of God has a claim on us. The law of God and the justice of God and the righteousness of God has a claim on us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, who would redeem us, comes to the law. And he says, law, can you redeem that sinner? And the law says, I can't redeem him, lest I mar my own righteousness, and lest I mar my own inheritance. I can't redeem him. He's broken the law. I've examined his character, and his character doesn't come up. Justice has examined him, and he won't meet the requirements. He sinned and comes short of the glory of God. I can't redeem him. Christ said, I can, and I will. I'm a near kinsman. I'm a brother. He was made like unto his brethren. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is one of us. He said, I can redeem him, and I will redeem him. And that's what he did. He came down here, and he didn't purchase us with gold and silver. He purchased us with the silver of his sweat and the gold of his blood. We're not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold. That's what Boaz redeemed Ruth with, was gold and silver. But Christ redeemed us with his blood, with the precious blood of Christ. He was the near kinsman. And the law couldn't save us, and the justice of God couldn't save us, lest they mar their own righteousness and inheritance. Christ did. I heard a story one time that illustrates this. There was a preacher called Dr. A.J. Gordon, who pastored in Boston for many, many years. I forget the name of the church. This was a long time ago. And one day, Dr. A.J. Gordon was walking down the street there in Boston, and he saw one of his little Sunday school boys coming toward him. And the little boy had a birdcage in his hand, an old homemade birdcage. And in that birdcage were two little field birds. They were so frightened and scared, afraid, and Dr. Gordon felt so sorry for them, and he loved them, and he wanted to see them free. They didn't belong in that cage, but the little boy had them. They were his. So he walked up to the little fellow, and he said, son, he said, would you sell me those birds? Well, I said, preacher, you don't want these old birds. They're not any good. He said, they can't sing. I know that, the preacher said, but I want those birds. Well, the preacher, there's plenty more out there in the field. You can go trap you some. No, sir, I want those birds. Will you sell them? The little boy said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll sell you birds, cage and all, for $2. The preacher said, it's a deal. He reached in his pocket, got out $2 and paid for the birds and took the cage in his hand and started off down the street. And after the little boy turned the corner, he just held that bird cage up in the air, and he unwired the little door and opened it up and held it up. And he said, now, little birds, I bought you. You're mine. I set you free. Fly out. And he patted the back of the cage a time or two, and those little birds caught sight of that open door, and one right after the other, they flew off into the beautiful blue sky. And he said he could almost hear them sing if they could have sung, "Redeemed, redeemed, I left to proclaim it, redeemed." One day our Lord Jesus Christ saw you and me in his eternal purpose, in his eternal wisdom and foreknowledge. And he loved us. He set his love upon us. But we were in captivity to the law. We were enslaved to the law. We were captives. We were in darkness. We were in the dungeon of sin. We were bound by our own guilt. And he said, "Law, I want those birds." And the law said, "Lord, they're no good. I know it. But I want them. And I want to buy them. What'll it cost?" And the law and justice of God said, "It'll cost you the gold of your blood and the silver of your sweat." He said, "I'll pay it." He came down to this earth, and that's what he did. He came down here to redeem us. He's the near kinsman. He has the right to redeem. And he did it. And he married us. And there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb one of these days. And all whom he redeemed are going to be with him around that table.